Good afternoon. We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland, continuing a local congregation and a registered Scottish charity. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace, up Dumbarton Road, opposite the police station. Go up the hill there. You'll find, first of all, Thornwood Primary School. And then you will meet ourselves on the crossroads. Our building's there. We give you a warm welcome to come and join with us on Sunday at 11 a.m. and again at 6 p.m. And also we have a midweek meeting beginning at 7:30 on Wednesday. We're glad to be able to come out. We're glad that the weather has cleared. We didn't think we'd manage it this morning when we saw the rain. But God in His goodness has given us dry weather. And we acknowledge that God is the one who controls the elements. We know we hear so much about climate change or global warming. And we're tried to be told that mankind in some sense determines the climate. And the behavior of mankind is having an effect upon the climate. Well, from a biblical perspective, we quite simply acknowledge that to be absolute, utter, unscientific nonsense. The Bible makes it clear, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. You'll find that in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. And it was a promise given to Noah after God had sent a worldwide flood upon the earth. And after all the water had gone, and life in some sense was restored to normal, that promise was given to Noah thousands of years ago, and God has kept that promise. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And we know that when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth, we know that on at least two occasions, He was in a boat. On one occasion, He was in a boat. He was back at the back of the boat, and He was sleeping. And as He was sleeping, what happened? A great storm came upon them. And His disciples, many of whom were experienced fishermen, were frightened. They thought they were going to be drowned. They awoke the Lord Jesus, and they told Him, "Do you not care for us? Look, we're about to drown." And Jesus said to the winds and the waves, "Quiet, be still." And immediately there was a great calm. Now that might surprise you, but it doesn't surprise us. Why not? Because the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator. All things were made by Him and for Him. And without anything made, was nothing made. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Creator. And if He is the Creator, can He not control the elements? Can He not control the weather? Of course He can. And therefore, we do not fear what many people are fearing today. Climate change. The need to change our lifestyle. To go all electric and all kinds of things. Friends, it is, quite simply, unscientific nonsense. Put your faith and put your hope upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, and He came in order to save. He did not come to destroy men's lives. Hello, sir, nice to meet you again. How are you?
Who wrote the Bible?
Well, the Bible was ultimately written by God, but men wrote it down. God inspired them. They didn't write their own thoughts.
What's the first book of the Bible?
Genesis, sir. Genesis.
Yes, thank God. So, how did it all start?
How did what all start? The world.
Creation.
Yeah, creation. Well, the Bible tells us, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God was there at the beginning. God is the only thing that's eternal. This world is not eternal. It will have a day. It will come to an end one day. We know that.
So, when you go up to the gates of heaven, what are you going to say?
What I'm going to say is, there's my Lord, there's my Saviour. My hope
is... So who's going to be up there? Saint what?
Jesus. It's Jesus and Jesus alone.
Would you please return? No,
I'm quite happy, sir.
No,
thank you.
I'll give you a clue. It starts with a P and ends with an S.
I don't know. It's the Lord Jesus.
I don't want one, mate. I've got one.
He's got one.
He gave me fucking 14.
No, that's
Saint
not
Peter.
Nice.
Saint Peter at the gates of heaven. So are you going up at the gates of heaven and tell him, I know everything about everything?
No.
Because believe me, he sounds to me as though you know everything about everything, because I know fuck all about nothing.
Well, I'm not going to speak to you if you're going to be using that language. I'm not going to speak.
You know everything about everything, don't you?
Well, then...
It sounds like it to me.
If I know...
Enlighten me. I've got a degree in electrical and electronic engineer, and you're telling me you know everything about everything?
If I know everything about everything, sir, I would suggest you listen.
Aye, right.
Listen.
Oh, what? That's
what you said. That's what you said, sir. No, you listen, you might learn, because all I do is simply repeat what's in the Bible. No, we don't believe in that. You know, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's come to lay down His life. He's come to give us new life. And many people today, life has got no point. It's got no meaning. Well, here is life. It's to be found in the Lord Jesus. He says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. What kind of life have we got at the moment? We have a physical life, but we don't by nature have spiritual life. What is spiritual life? Spiritual life is where we love God. Our first parents had this spiritual life. They had it at the beginning. They were made in the image of God, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And they possessed this spiritual life so that they loved their God. They loved their Creator. And they had a wonderful relationship as a result of it. But because they sinned, they lost that spiritual life. They died. And because we have come from Adam and Eve, yes, they are our first parents. Adam and Eve are our first parents, and we have inherited their sinful nature so that we are born in sin. We have a sinful nature. You can ask me a question, sir, yes.
Right. God made everything, yes, and He was there before everything even existed.
Yep.
Maybe even including Himself.
No, impossible.
Okay. All right. But he designed a wee copy of Himself in His image, man, yeah.
Yeah, man is like and, God originally, yes.
And man was lonely. Man was lonely.
Adam was.
So Adam was lonely.
Yeah.
So he was sent to sleep, and a rib was taken out of him and transformed into a female.
Well done, sir.
Yes, okay. So this is God's image is lonely. So He wants to be like everything else in God's beautiful creation and have a partner. Okay, yes. Right.
But God's in
so
three persons.
So far, so good. Okay, right. But then, so we're all descended from them. We're actually incestuous results of Adam and Eve.
It is true that...
Why did Noah save two of everything?
In order that they might...
Why did God only make one of a man, but No, rest of creation had two.
No, I'm not gonna answer.
It's more female. I know you're not interested.
No, no.
You're reading a book that is well out of date. There's a lot of good stuff in it, man. Yeah, but it's only a collection of books selected by the Romans, the ones who killed Jesus. All right, so that's you're only allowed to read what you've been allowed to read. Biblos is Greek and it means book or library, okay?
Yeah.
Everything you're talking about is written down in either Greek or Latin.
I'm not prepared to continue this because, sir, you are not giving me a chance to respond.
No, this is my point. Yeah, I've been listening to you for an hour.
Well, you can go and listen for another hour. But it's,
I certainly could. I could go for eternity, man.
Because
I am eternal.
You come up and ask a question, and
universe.
You don't give me a chance to answer.
We are the universe.
No, no.
Okay. We are God.
No, no. No. We are human. We are creatures. We are here today, and we're gone tomorrow. But our souls shall live forever. And where will your soul live?
I know that. I'm not denying any of that.
Where will your soul be, sir?
What?
The Lord Jesus Christ alone can save
it'll
your soul.
On, but it'll be looking down on
the
beauty of
the body shall return to dust, but your soul shall live forever. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You have a precious soul, and only Jesus can save it. That's why we come out. In order that you might embrace the Lord Jesus. And when you do, he will change your life. He will give you purpose. He will give you meaning.
This is my meaning.
No, no. You, sir, what is your life?
I ain't swapping my soul for empty. I'm not selling it to capitalism. I'm not selling it
to
indoctrinate.
Where will it go?
What?
Where will it go when you die?
It's eternal. Where does it have to go? Well, it doesn't have to go anywhere. Oh, it already is everywhere.
The Bible will tell you it'll either go to heaven or hell.
Well, that's...
That's the sad reality.
That's what it says, aye. Why did God create hell?
The hell was created for the devil and for his angels.
The devil, Lucifer?
Satan, Lucifer,
the
yes.
The Lightbringer.
Yep, that's why...
Prometheus, yeah.
It was created for him. And for his angels.
Why?
Why? Because God must punish sin. God is a holy God. That's why.
What is sinful about light?
No, because Satan rebelled against God. Satan wanted to be like God.
But we're all like God. We're all made in his image.
Aye, but we... And he's only a creature.
More, he's even more godly because he's the archangel of them all, is he not?
He's the devil.
No,
he's the evil one.
That sounds like politics here, man.
No. No politics.
Spiritual.
But we're out here in order to tell you the truth as it is in Jesus. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. Here salvation is portrayed in everyday terms, terms that you and I can understand. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. You know, do you hunger in life? We're not talking about a physical hunger for food, but do you hunger for purpose? Do you hunger for meaning? Do you ever ask yourself, what is life all about? What's the purpose of life? Why am I here? Is it just simply to be born, to grow up, to go to school, to be educated, maybe to go to university or college, get a job, get married, get children, become a grandparent, and so ultimately go the way of all the earth? Is that all that this world is about? Is that what life is? There's more to life. And Jesus can fulfill that gap in your life. Because at the moment, we, by nature, because of sin, we have this gap in us that only the Lord Jesus Christ can satisfy. And he that believeth in me shall never thirst. You know, it's a terrible thing to thirst. We don't know much about it in our environment, but certainly in the Middle East, water's a very precious commodity. And in biblical times it was especially so. And they had to make provision to make sure that they had water. And it was a terrible thing to thirst. Well, friends, we can thirst in a spiritual sense. And Jesus is one who can quench that thirst. And only Jesus can quench that thirst. Do we know, are we hungering and thirsting for purpose and for meaning in this life? Do we think there is no purpose, there is no meaning? Well, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. And you know, friends, you will know this blessing the moment that you come to the Lord Jesus. You know, there are some people who teach us that we cannot know if we're saved. We cannot know if we're right with God. That's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 36, I advise you to read it for yourself. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And what Jesus is saying there is, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It's something that he has right now. The moment that he believes, he has it. It's a possession that he has. What does it mean to believe upon the Lord Jesus? Many people believe. The devil believes. The devil, in some sense, is a great believer. He knows his Bible and he knows his theology better than you and I. And he believes in the Lord Jesus. He knows he's a reality. He knows he really came to this world. He knows he is the Son of God. But he does not believe in him on a saving manner. And that's what's required upon us. To believe in a saving manner is to cast ourselves upon him. It is to trust upon him. It's to take our eyes off ourselves and to look to Jesus. To believe that he is the only begotten Son of God. That he is the only one who can save us. To believe his own record about himself. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You are urged then to believe in Jesus. And it's obvious. How can you possibly believe upon someone that you really know nothing about? That's why we come out, friends, to tell you the good news, to tell you about Jesus, to tell you that he will receive sinners. And you must recognize that you are a sinner. And this is probably the hardest part in our presentation of the gospel. We must tell you the truth as it is in Jesus. We must tell you that the Bible would call you a sinner. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. That's God's verdict. God says, for the wages of sin is death. That's why we have death in this world. Death is not natural. Yes, it has become normal, but it's not natural. It was never God's intention. And death only came into this world because of sin. If there was no sin, there would be no death. And that's why, or at least that's one reason why we don't believe in the theory of evolution. Because the theory of evolution teaches us that death is in this world and that God used death. But nonsense. When God made this world, he made it perfect and there was no death. And death only came into this world after our first parents sinned. And because our first parents sinned, we are sinners. We have a sinful nature. And sooner or later, that sinful nature will manifest itself in sinful acts. This is what happens to our children. We don't teach our children to be sinful. We don't teach them to misbehave. Who then teaches them? No one teaches them. It comes from their sinful nature, because we've all come from Adam and all come from Eve, and they are our first parents, and we have sinned in them. And therefore, friends, here's our problem. Here's our plight. This is the greatest problem that's facing mankind. How can we possibly get right with God, a holy God, because we are sinners? We can only get right with God through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we urge you then to put your faith and your hope upon Him, that you might call upon Him as your Lord and as your Savior. And we want you to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ will receive all that will come to Him. He will not turn you away. No matter what you've done, you might think to yourself, well, you've sinned away your last opportunity. The devil might say to you, you're a lost cause. You're too bad. There's no hope for you. But that's not the case. That's not the case at all. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. We're all lost. We're all sinners. And Jesus Christ will have mercy upon us if we will but come to Him. Don't be ashamed, therefore, then, to admit your great need. He is like a physician. He has not come to heal. He has come to heal those who are sick. He has not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if we are today, if we've heard the gospel, and we've come to that point, and we've said to ourselves, well, I'm going to reject the Lord Jesus. I'm not going to call upon Him. He's not going to be my Savior. I will have none of Him. What are we saying, in effect? We are saying we don't need Him. We are saying that we don't agree with the biblical record. We are saying we are not sinners and we don't need Him. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He has not come to destroy men's lives. He has come to save them. You will be familiar, I hope, with what is regarded as the most well-known verse in the Bible, in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You know, many people have a bad and a hard view of God. Nothing could be so different from the truth. God was the one who has been offended by mankind's behavior. God is the one who has worked out a way of salvation. It is all of God's initiative. We were lost. We were perishing. And sadly, what an indictment upon human nature. We were happy to be in sin. We were happy to be estranged from God. We did not want to be reconciled to God. But God, in His mercy, did something about it. What did He do? He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He became a man, the God-man, a unique man, like no other man. In what sense is He unique? Well, He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He is both fully man and fully God. And because He is fully man and fully God, He is able to be our mediator. He's able to bridge that gap between a holy God and sinful mankind. He is able to reconcile us to God. He reconciled us by living a perfect life. He reconciled us by paying the penalty for the sins that we have committed. He has reconciled us by offering up Himself, that once for all perfect sacrifice of Himself. We know that many people today do not believe that the Son of God, Jesus Christ the Lord, actually suffered and died. They cannot comprehend, they cannot believe that the Son of God would do this. But He had to do it. There would be no gospel. There would be no good news. There would be no hope for mankind, because there Christ dealt with our sin. And this was the great problem. This was the great barrier. This was something that mankind could not address themselves. But God in Christ has reconciled the world unto Himself. And that's why we come out, friends. We leave our church building, which is situated at 2 Thornwood Terrace. We leave our pulpit there. We come out and we bring this message to you, because we know that many of you do not go to a house of God. They do not go to a Christian place of worship. And you're never likely to hear this message. And friends, it's very possible for you to live your life, to grow up, to become mature, to become an adult, maybe to become a parent, and maybe a grandparent, and maybe a great-grandparent, and to never hear about the truth of the gospel, and to never hear this message, and for you to go into eternity and not to hear of Christ. You know, the Bible will give us answers to our most pressing and deepest questions that we can ask ourselves. Questions like, who made all things? Is there a God? Who made me? What is the purpose of life? You'll find these questions are answered in the Bible. In the very first verse of the first book of the Bible, God tells us that He is the Creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God is eternal. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable. In His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. That's the God that we have to deal with. The God who is from everlasting to everlasting, who has no beginning nor end, who alone is eternal. You know, people today will tell you that the world is eternal. Well, the world is not eternal. The world and the universe had a beginning. God alone is eternal. And God is your Creator. And that's the one you are accountable unto. You'll give account to Him. And we are made in His image. What does the Bible say? God made man, male and female, after His own image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. There, the Bible, bang up to date, is addressing a matter that we have in our culture today. Many people are trying to tell us there are more than two genders. There are not more than two genders, and you cannot change your gender. There are only two, male and female. God made man, male and female, after His own image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. And when He made our first parents, they were perfect, but they fell, they sinned, they listened to the evil one, and sin entered into our existence. And all of us have come from Adam and Eve, therefore we're all sinners. And therefore we all need a Savior. And friend, who is that Savior? It's not Allah. It's not Confucius. It's not Buddha. It's not the Pope. It's not a minister of the gospel. It's the Lord Jesus. Why is it Him? Because He is the only one who has dealt with sin. He is the only one who offered up His life as a perfect sacrifice to satisfy the just demands of God's most holy and inflexible law. And blessed be God, his work was accepted because he came down from the cross, dead. He was buried. He was put in a tomb. That tomb was sealed. But on the third day he arose. Why did he arose? He arose because his days of humiliation had ended. He has now entered into his estate of exaltation. He now lives so that death no longer has any hold upon him. He can never die. And therefore we're telling you and urging you and asking you and embracing you and persuading you to put your faith and your hope not upon a dead Savior, but upon one who lives forevermore, and that Savior who will return one day. Yes, the Bible tells us that Christ came the first time, but he will come again. Behold, the Bible says, he cometh in the clouds, and every eye shall see him. Yes, you will see him one day. This Jesus that I'm proclaiming to you this afternoon, one day you will see him. And you know what? We rejoice. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That day will come when this Savior will come and you will bow before him. It will either be by grace or you will be compelled. Friend, today we're here, the day of grace. We're telling you about the Savior who will save to the uttermost, the Savior who will receive you. You don't need to worry about Christ turning you away. No, he will receive you. You see his arms on the cross? You see how they were outstretched? That's telling us he would receive you. All, whoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What a wonderful gospel invitation. Come, have your sins forgiven. Be reconciled to God. You know there are many religions, but there's only one religion from heaven. There's only one Savior who has come down from heaven. Is your faith and is your hope resting upon a mere man, or is it resting upon the God-man, the Lord Jesus, the one who has come from heaven and who has brought salvation with him by his life, by his death, and by his resurrection? Well, it's good to be with you this afternoon. We're going to draw our time to a close. We're here from Partick, and we're going to draw our time to a close with you this afternoon. It's been good to be here. It's been good to be able to say something concerning the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we bid you a warm welcome to our services any Lord's Day at 11 a.m. or again at 6 p.m. And also we meet on Wednesday at 7:30. May God bless his word to you this afternoon.